Hey, welcome back to Dot Grid, a podcast at the intersection of analog and digital. My name is Will Fangy, and I am joined, as I always am, by my co-host from the West Coast, Mr. Andy Welfley.
Hello.
Hey.
It's been a
you're
minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. You're at home, I assume.
No, I'm just, you know, hanging at the bar, just with all my friends.
I hear them all in the background.
Uh-huh.
anyone got a nasty cough? Because if so, I have bad news.
Yeah. So this is, you know, for those time travelers listening, or you know, for those listening to this in a time capsule who don't remember 2020, what's going on? What's going on in the world?
Donald Trump is still the president.
Well, yeah.
Zoom has made... I wish I had purchased stock in Zoom like 6 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh. Have you heard that thing about that other company that has Zoom in like the stock exchange? They don't have Zoom.us?
Oh, no, but good for them.
There's this other company that is called Zoom that has nothing at all to do with Zoom.us, and apparently their stocks have also skyrocketed.
Oh, right. I heard they paused trading for that company in particular.
Specifically, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. Well, coronavirus is the thing that we are alluding to. COVID-19, I think we have to numeralize it, because who knows, by the time the people in the time capsule are listening to it, this could... We could be on like COVID-24.
Just a thing we do every year, apparently.
Yeah. In the late winter and then again in the fall, hopefully not, knock on wood, but let's be realistic.
So here in San Francisco, this is going on week 4 of our official shelter in place policy. Mm-hmm. And I assume in Texas, there's just nothing. You're just sort of like, hey, bring your gun.
Yeah, we have guns. We have guns. No. So the governor's reasoning for not declaring a statewide stay at home is that of the 250 counties in the state of Texas, like 200 of them as of last week had no reported cases of the virus. So he does not want to lock down people in like Alpine, Texas, that's out in the middle of nowhere where they may not have anything where they may not have anything reported going on.
Yeah.
But also, that doesn't matter because like 96% of the population of the state lives in the counties that have the reported cases. That's why they have the reported cases. So,
right.
No, we, let's see, Thursday will be, so we're recording this, April 7th. That's a Tuesday. On the 9th, we will have been here, Elizabeth and I, for 4 weeks as well. Okay. The county just started lockdown. I got to stop calling it like lockdown and quarantine and all the other stuff.
These have official designations now.
Right. This is like a an official shelter in place, stay at home policy last Tuesday at like 10 PM. Mm. Which was wonderful because the weekend before that, there was a yard sale down the street. Like, I don't even have the words for that. Like
go put your hands all over that. That's going to be real good.
Yeah, it was super frustrating. So I was happy that the shelter in place happened because, you know, I'm here. Everybody else should be in their version of here. Going out once a week to do curbside pickup at the grocery stores and then heavily disinfecting everyone and anything. We just have one of those, you know, you ever go through the car wash and they have like that wax sprayer at the end?
Oh, yeah.
Like supposed to make, yeah, we have one of those just full of like fake lavender Lysol.
Just spray yourself
just
down.
All over the place. Eyes. I can't say I'm blind. I've been blinded. I'm blinded by the Lysol.
show title.
Yeah, show title. So, yeah, it's just... But, I mean, and we'll talk about this more because it's super timely. Andy and I are going to do a work-from-home main topic today. But it's not been super weird for me as much as it has been for some people. IBM already had a relatively open policy, and I got my office. And like I said, we'll talk about it more later, but...
We're both super, super privileged that we can continue our jobs and working from home, and it doesn't like affect us in any meaningful way. And I don't know about you, but I have a couple sisters who have been laid off because of this, and you know, some friends. And
right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go on. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say I'm on the other side of it. Whereas both of my siblings work in the medical field, so My brother is currently still, luckily, the hospital he works in New Orleans is not fighting for personal protective equipment like some places are. So he's doing all right. And then my sister is still working. I think she's been cut down some hours. Mm. She's still working 312s, which she's always worked, as the person that doing what she does at the clinic that she works at overnight. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to work, and at least in especially my brother's case, still being exposed to people or exposed to people that have been exposed to people. So I worry about them. Super sorry to hear about your sisters, though. That's apparently a thing that's going to keep happening.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon thing at all right now. So hopefully we can, you know, the economy can bounce back or whatever. I don't know. I don't know about the economy.
No, I don't either. I don't pretend to be good with numbers at all. I don't math good in the least.
Same.
But I will say that somebody told me today that the unemployment rate in Austin was currently hovering around 25%, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
So
high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of so high, someone tells me that I've been told that helps if you're into that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Everyone out there.
If you live in a place where that's legal, you should just go ahead and just be so high.
And if you live in a place where it's not legal, you know, whatever, no judgment.
Find someone who is where, you know, where it is.
No judgment. Other than that, are your parents doing all right? Everybody's like where they're supposed to be and behaving?
Yeah, everybody's mostly doing okay. My mother has only recently sort of started taking it seriously, and she's kind of restless anyway. But like all the places where she would normally go, like to the library or to Goodwill or whatever, are closed, so she basically has nowhere left to go, which is good. People are doing okay. My immediate family are healthy so far, which is good because my parents are both in the kind of at-risk camp, so I hope they continue to be healthy.
Speaking of immediate family, my father texted me on Sunday and told me that one of my uncles from his side of the family wanted to set up, and I wish I wasn't saying this, a Zoom call with everyone on that side of the family.
Ooh.
Now, my father had three sisters. Uh-huh. My Aunt Julie had one child. Both my Aunt Lynn and my Aunt Jane had two children. Obviously, my father had three.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think it's at 7, so I might start drinking at noon.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's going to be the best way around it. But like, also, I need to ration what I have.
Yeah. You should definitely download Snap Camera so you can like come at them with some various effects.
My dude, I am three steps ahead of you. I'm just going to show up as a potato with a crown on and pretend like I don't know what anybody is talking
about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know about Snap Camera, we'll drop a link in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Because once you get it set up, especially if you're on a lot of video for work or with your family or whatever, it was surprisingly easy to use.
But also, you're probably giving the Russian government full access to your computer and recording. And that, I guess, with Zoom, you're giving, you know, corporate America access to like everything. So between Zoom and Snap, like, your privacy is gone. So just deal with it.
So what you're telling me is if I use Snap Camera while I'm using Zoom, I would probably just be better off like throwing my computer in a dumpster immediately afterwards and then trying to change my social security number. I gotcha.
I think that's about right.
Oh.
Should we do some pencils and pixels?
Let's go into pencils and pixels. Typically,
pencils
we would do some
pixels.
There it is. Typically, we do some follow up first, but because the things that we have on the list for follow up go well with what we're going to be talking about as our main topic today, I thought we would do pencils and pixels. I would like for you to start with your analog pick, if I can dictate exactly how this is going to go, because it's not something I'm familiar with, but I'm super excited about both things that you've put down here. So tell me more. And you know what? No, just go ahead and tell me more. I have a surprise for you, but go ahead and tell me more.
Okay. So the first one, I guess, is kind of wait, are we doing analog or digital?
You're doing analog.
Okay. It's kind of not exactly analog. It's an ebook. So technically it's digital, but I like to think of
cheating.
It's a book. It's a book. And that is a plug for our good friend Harry Marx's new novel.
There it is.
There it is. Would you know, I forgot to take home my bell from work, and now I can't access it.
If it makes you feel any better, I have all of my Funko Pops and my keyboard still at work.
Yeah.
Which are things that would make my office considerably happier, but everything's probably covered either in dust or COVID germs at this point.
That's true.
Or both.
That's science. Hashtag science.
Perhaps they are incubating and hibernating underneath the dust. But tell me more about Harry Marx.
Anyhow.
And things.
Harry Marx wrote a novel called The Prophet. And it is, you know, usually he is trying to he's trying to get like some like shop his books around with the publishers, and he's not really a fan of self-publishing, but he thought that this was kind of a good opportunity for it. He's trying to make a little extra money. So I would 100% recommend going to download it and reading Harry Marx's book, The Prophet. So I guess I wanted to mention as well that so he also is doing a new creative project, which is a sitcom podcast. It's called The Shelf Life, and it is a 10-minute episode. There's 4 episodes so far. It's a podcast, laugh track and all, which is really good. It kind of has a retro feel to it, but it's all audio. And Harry writes it and edits it and is the star of it. It's really good. Has a lot of good voices. Has a very familiar voice in the episode that just came out yesterday. And that's all I'll say.
That sounds great. And 10 minutes is so remarkably reasonable right now.
So doable.
Do you think he's going for that Quibi money?
Wait, what? Quibi money?
You think he's going for that Quibi money? You know Quibi.
No, I don't know Quibi.
Have you been paying attention to this Quibi?
Oh, this episode brought to you by Quibi.
This episode brought to you by Quibi, the thing that Andy's never heard about. I can't believe I guess I only have a very brief amount of time to explain to you what Quibi is, but it's a new platform that launched, I want to say Monday. They have enough content to go for multiple months, because when they were like getting everything set for the platform last fall, they were worried about a writer's strike. So they have like a huge amounts of content, but like the whole conceit is that everything is 10 minutes or less. Oh. So you can watch it while you like are waiting on, I don't know, this is so nerdy, like waiting for a build to run on your, I don't know, development environment, or
for example,
waiting for the waiting in line when we used to have lines places, you know, things like that. So yeah, check it out. I think it's Quibi. A lot of news about that earlier this week. Also has been, where I've been seeing that. We're watching Top Chef now that that's back, and they sponsored, I think, all of the ads except for a very nauseating Facebook ad on one of the episodes of Top Chef on the Bravo app over the past couple of weeks. So
yeah,
check out Quibi. They've got some star power behind it. Speaking of weird television things, I assume you got the text that I sent you today about the show that I found on Crackle.
You did, with Martin Freeman.
Yeah, with an American accent, which is so very it's frightening to have him have a weird, because I've never seen him do American, like to the point that it made me feel so uncomfortable that I just turned it off and put Sherlock back on, because it just felt better. It just made more sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm gonna talk about my analog pick. It's the most analog thing I could ever think about. Most analog thing I ever have considered, and that is meditation. I'm gonna be that guy.
Oh yeah.
So I haven't been any stranger to talking about mental health stuff on the podcast before. I don't know if we brought this up in the last episode. I don't think we did. But I was recently officially given a diagnosis of adult attention deficit hyper disorder, hyperactive. We just call it ADHD because it's easier.
Yeah. You don't have the attention span to try to say that whole thing.
Right.
So.
There's so many syllables there. We'll just say ADHD. Right. Yeah, right? Like, and sometimes, anyway, I'm not going to, like, that's another tangent entirely. That's another tangent. Also, let's not talk about the irony of the fact that a long time ago, when I first started the network that no longer exists, I hosted a podcast called Bipolar, which I still have.
You got some flack for it, too.
I did. And rightfully so. But my therapist, along with anyone that I've ever seen for therapy in the past, along with just generally good advice for people that have attention issues, is to try to incorporate a regular meditation practice into your life. And I don't typically go whole hog into Eastern medicine and spiritual and chakras and things like that, but there's scientific proof that meditation helps your brain in a a large amount of ways. Don't know exactly what. I was looking for a good word for a significant amount of ways there. So if you're feeling particularly thesaurus-y. So I just started to do that a little bit more, trying to do that for a few minutes every day. The plug I'm going to make is for the 10% Happier app. I'm pretty sure I plugged the book a couple episodes ago by Dan Harris when we were talking about... I remember that because he also narrates the book, so it's pretty great. But yeah, their app is a good one. I use it on a regular basis. There's a wide variety of different guided meditations in there. I'm not much for unguided meditation with the bells and the chimes and the things like that, but I have a seat cushion that I bought for my chair when I worked at Envision and worked from home, and I just take that off of my chair and put it on the floor and sit with my back relatively straight, but not so straight that I'm not leaning against the wall behind me, and as long as a dog doesn't try to crawl into my lap while my eyes are closed, typically it goes okay. Mumford did scare the ever-living poop out of me the other day, though, because I was just sitting there trying to meditate and listening, and he tried to crawl in my... I was sitting crisscross applesauce, I believe is the politically correct way to describe how my legs were situated.
Yeah.
And he just tried to crawl in my lap in the middle of my meditation. I was like, oh, God, oh, it's frightening. So, yeah, that's my super analog plug this time, is for trying to incorporate a meditation or mindfulness practice into your life, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, even if it's just being more attentive on a task that you do regularly, like washing the dishes or taking a shower or going for a walk or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people doing a lot of cleaning and a lot of outside walking. You know, there's nothing wrong with just being present. I feel like it's something that I do and that I can do, but something that I don't think I will ever perfect, but it's not going to keep me from continuing to try. So mindfulness and meditation, there's plenty of resources out there. If you're interested in some of the stuff that I've used, dear listeners, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to suggest some of the stuff that I've got, but yeah, meditation.
Nice.
Sit quiet, listen to your breathing, and try not to not blink or blink. One of the two.
Just one long blink.
One long, long blink where you continue. Yeah, it's not an, it's, I used to do it before I would go to work when I was teaching. And so I would have to get up and I was already not getting enough sleep. And I definitely fell asleep during meditation more than once. So if you're sleepy, maybe put it off for later in the day. I want to do my digital pick before yours because yours is a rabbit hole.
Yeah, sure.
That we tapped on a while ago. I know we just listened to me talk for 5 minutes. I'll be brief with this one. My digital pick is brain.fm. And more working from home mental acuity goodness. If you're not familiar with brain.fm, they have, I think they use that binaural beats thing where they, or sounds thing where it sounds different in one ear than it does in the other. They have a lot of science or like studies and things that have been published that they make available on their site. I don't try to get too deep into the weeds of that. I just know that when I put it on for deep work or focused work for 2 hours, after about 15 minutes, I definitely am more focused and it's easier for me to get things done. Again, because of the ADHD, it has always been difficult for me to focus when there's any sound or when there's no sound. Oftentimes I'm trying to fill that in with, like, you know, shaking my leg or tapping a pencil or whatever. The brain.fm has, you know, quieted a lot of that down, but still allowed me to kind of block out all the other things around me. Full disclosure, the link that we're going to put in show notes is a referral link where I get a month free, but I'm already on a free trial that was supposed to end like 2 weeks ago.
Well, you're getting another month free now because I just clicked that link.
Oh, nice, buddy. Appreciate it. But yeah, I listened to it. It works really well with the new AirPods Pro that I don't even know if I talked about that on one of our previous episodes. But I have those now. It works really well with that. You can do it through speakers, but I don't find it as effective because it doesn't block out as much of the other sound. But yeah, brain.fm is the URL. Brain.fm might be the thing that it's called. I don't understand the science behind it. I haven't dug into it, but I find it works for me. And if the proof is in the output, then it works.
Nice.
So, Andy, let's dig down this rabbit hole. Tell me about your digital pick.
Well, I don't know. It's something that I have sort of been kind of interested in for a while. And specifically, I don't know if it was boredom because we're stuck at home or quite what happened here. But finally, I got Katie talked into it to get some Philips Hue light bulbs. So we started off with, I think, just two of them, like, in our living room. And we didn't have the home hub, or what are they called? Is it called the hub?
Yeah, I think it's called the Philips hub. That's what, yeah. I think that's what it's literally called.
That thing, the little white box that controls it all. We didn't have
it. It has to be plugged in via Ethernet.
Yes. So we had just the ones that we were just communicating with via Bluetooth directly from the phones, and that worked out really well. It was really nice to sit on the couch and dim the lights or turn on our reading lights in the bedroom, things like that. And we eventually just went all in, and now, let's see, 12 light bulbs in our one bedroom apartment are now smart light bulbs.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, and so we got that little Hue hub, and we have the bridge. That's what it's called. It's called the bridge.
Oh, the bridge. And you would think, as a Star Trek fan, it would be more front of mind.
And we have I have it hooked up to my Alexa, and I have it, my Amazon Dingus. I have it hooked up to my Apple Dingus, like the HomeKit stuff. So it is set up. I have a couple automations, although Katie's still kind of like hesitant to do automations. She's really in it just for like remotely controlling the light, like on and off light bulbs. Mm-hmm. But I do have it to every night at 8:30, because you know we go to bed super early by 9. At 8:30, the lights in the bedroom sort of like go into get ready for bed mode. And then when we have it, I'm not quite sure how it works, but like I have it set so whenever one of us comes back home after leaving, it turns on the hallway light. So in case it's like real dark out.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's because it disconnects from Wi-Fi and connects it back on, or if it's actually geofenced or what, but that's something that happens.
Do you have the color changing lights or just the brightness dimming lights?
So a few of them are the ones that change from like gold to blue.
Okay. So like temperature changes. Yeah.
And then the rest of them are just dimming lights, because those like full spectrum color changing lights are really freaking expensive.
Yes, they are.
We're thinking about getting one and putting it in the special little quote unquote cat room, which is, what used to be the futon room space, as you are probably familiar.
I am familiar.
It is now specifically the cat room, and we have a light up there. And I think it would be really fun to just have it like be like green or yellow or something. And I was probably not going to happen, but you know, employing my blue sky Imagineering, how fun would it be to have a smart litter box that knows when a cat made a dookie, and when the cat makes a dookie, the lights turn red, and when it's clear, the lights turn green.
But why?
Because you can.
Oh, okay. That's blue. That's blue sky Imagineering at its
finest. Sure is. So that's just what I've been thinking about. But no action yet on that. Well, stay tuned for when we do this again in 3 months.
Right. We're trying, folks. We're sorry. We're trying.
We both rescheduled this episode.
Yeah, we had this on the agenda to record more than a month ago with a guest even, and. Yeah. It was right around the time when all of this was coming, not necessarily coming to a head, because I don't know if we're necessarily at that point yet, but it was when things were starting to get really, really serious, and we were both like, let's try to figure out how we're going to work from home first before we do that. I'm trying to think. We've got 1, 2, 3. I think we've got 6 lights in our house.
Yeah.
That are just they're not color temperature, they're just brightness. But I think now that you have mentioned it, since I do have one in my office and the lamp in here, I think I would really enjoy having a color changing light in here. And then it supposedly, integrates with If This Then That really well.
Yeah. Like if the stocks are doing great, it does something, and yeah, you can do all sorts of interesting things.
Right. I can have it like flash blue if I got a direct message on, well, I probably couldn't on Twitter anymore since they've shut down all of their APIs and anything that's worth having, but yeah. Stuff like that. I may do that. But yeah, we have them set. Let me tell you, it's really awesome to be able to, Like, I have been going to bed earlier than Elizabeth just because our sleep schedules are sort of offset. And I can go to the bedroom and turn the bedroom light down to like 5%, but it's still, so it's enough for her to come into the room and not have to like either A, turn the lights on and blind me, through my eyelids, or B, have to do that thing you do that you people, you know, with your phone and the flashlight and trying to make sure you're not kicking anything. And
oh, yeah.
Well, I don't have to do that because it's still bright enough that that's covered. So
stepping on cat barf, for example.
Yeah, it doesn't happen as much around here, surprisingly. Yeah.
You don't get a lot of cat barf?
No, cat barf problem under control. But anyway, let's hop a little bit into follow-up.
Yeah.
So a couple episodes ago, we were talking about some games. I think that's more relevant now than ever. I wanted to have something really good to say about analog games, but like, I don't. I keep like picking at Elizabeth to be like, hey, let's go. Like, she's supposed to teach me how to play the one with the pegs. It's not bridge. What is it?
Plink. I have no idea.
Yeah, Plinko is not it either, but that would be amazingly fun.
so if cribbage. You... Cribbage. Yeah, cribbage. If you... I guess kind of a tie-in to analog games. Do you ever play Codenames with friends?
Yeah, once.
So there's a free online version of it that you can do. And somebody just made an online version. If you go to horsepaste.com, you can play online, like over Zoom or something with friends.
That's nice. Yeah, I played it for the first time. We had a party at a gaming bar. I believe it's called the Emerald Tavern, in case you were wondering how much they were really selling it. For when all of my team was in town for an offsite back in January, we played it there with a few people, and I learned that even though I'm pretty good at words, I'm not good at remembering what color team I am on.
Well,
which
that's
is kind of essential for code names.
I guess I would do it.
Yeah, I did. It did not go well when I was giving the clues. So, but yeah, that's definitely something worth looking into. It's super fun, super easy to pick up. It's a digital version of an analog game. Good catch on that one. I think I saw a link to that in the Slack.
I think
that you and I are both in.
I think Cards Against Humanity is now doing. They now have a version you can play remotely, just because of all this stuff going on.
Man, I would be into that. I've only played it in real life a couple times, and it's. I enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it can be almost as fun over video chat.
Yeah.
So
we should try that sometime.
Yeah, we should. So yeah, I got to learn how to play cribbage. We bought a puzzle, but this was like months ago. Still haven't opened it.
Yeah,
I just so, like.
So I have.
I want to do more.
Yeah,
you have a big.
I have a big game. Game follow up item.
Big game follow up. Andy Wellesley, watching that Tiger King. Big game follow up.
I was gonna say I'm not shooting like elk or anything, but the follow up is big, not the game. So I can't remember. When did we record that games episode?
That was episode 22, so it was probably towards the end of last year.
Okay. So I bought a Nintendo Switch a week ago. Less than a week ago.
Yeah.
Half a week ago. And,
yeah, you did.
We can probably maybe talk about it a little bit more in during the main topic, which this will kind of lead into. But I currently just like all in preoccupied with Animal Crossing.
Yes.
If anybody wants to, I'm not just going to put my friend code in the show notes, but if you want to be my Nintendo friend, I don't know what you call it, hit me up.
It's called Frintendo?
Yes, Frintendo.
Frintendo.
Friendo? Frintendo.
What's up, Frintendo?
It's not Frintendo. It should be Frintendo.
Should be Frintendo.
Nenfrendo? No, I don't know. Frintendo. So I would encourage you if you have a Switch and you don't have Animal Crossing and you want something, as a friend described it, it's more of a vibe than it is a game. Kind of Simsy. It's kind of what's the other one?
I liken it to Stardew Valley.
Yeah, okay, yeah, like that. So it's just very gentle and it's very nice and it's very friendly, even though there's this interesting like moment of capitalism in it, which we can dig into a little bit. So I've been playing that. I played a game of Super Smash Brothers with my friend Will Fangy and Michael Metz, who's been on the show, and a few other people.
Friend of the podcast, Michael Metz.
Friend of the podcast, Michael Metz. And I've, yeah, so I don't know how the hell to play Smash Brothers. It's like so much is happening on the screen, but I'll spend some time and try to unlock some characters.
Yeah, we should definitely delve into that a little more when we talk about games in the bottom, because I have hashtag opinions and also hashtag pro tips. So,
yeah.
Because that's what I bought myself with birthday money. So I've had it since January. Nice. But yeah, we'll talk about it a little more at the bottom. So that's a teaser.
Yeah.
Teaser for talking more about other stuff.
Should we tell people where to find show notes for this episode?
Yeah, we can do that. And then we'll take a sponsor break and then we'll jump right back into the main topic.
Okay.
All right. So, Andy Welfley, if someone wanted to check out the show notes for this episode somewhere other than natively in their podcast player of choice, where would they do that?
Well, they could, if you're boring, go to .grid.xyz, or you could just go over to lavenderlysol.club, the Lavender Lysol Club, because I do have I too have a can of Lavender Lysol.
Is it the actual Lysol, or is it the ripoff like ours is?
Oh, I think it's the actual Lysol.
Nice. Well played. You guys got the good stuff where they sold out.
Well, I guess you're not in the club. It's just me.
I have to be fake Lavender Lysol. I love that that's domain purchasing in real time.
It sure is.
It's absolutely perfect.
If I would have had more time, I probably would have bought like friendtendo.club or something, but maybe I'll make that forward to my like, do I get like a page, like a profile on Nintendo or something?
No, there's no way. No.
Okay. That's
Nintendo. I know it's been a while since you've been in the video game console community, but
last
Nintendo, what was the last console you had?
It was the Wii, the first Wii.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, Nintendo is notoriously bad for their online services and online presence. Yeah. It's just not something they invest heavily into. So, yeah. Lavenderlysol.club. I don't even know what to say. Lavenderlysol.club.
.club.
Right. You know what? Let's just skip the sponsor break and go straight into the main topic.
Do we have a sponsor?
No, Andy, we do not have a sponsor.
Okay. You fooled me.
You think I would...
Brought to you by Knockoff Lysol.
You think I wouldn't have told you before now that we had someone that was paying us money to say these words?
Brought to you by Kirkland Disinfectant. The Costco alternative comes in a 6-gallon bucket of Lysol.
You just bathe in it.
Yeah.
How often are you washing your hands? Let's be honest.
I was not washing them I was washing them, but not as often as I am now until I heard Anthony Fauci tell us on NPR that he washes his hands like 50 times a day. I was like, God damn it. If like Anthony Fauci says I should do it, I probably should do it.
I'm washing them enough that my knuckles have gotten to the point where they are like dry and scratchy.
Yeah.
So I moved the lotion to my desk, but unfortunately I'm realizing right now as I'm looking at direction, it is completely blocked by whatever cup I'm drinking water out of during the day. So I can wash my hands all I want to, but I'm always going to forget to put lotion on them.
Yeah.
I have a giant water cup. I'm drinking so much water.
That's good. It's important to stay hydrated.
It is. So you have one of those,
well, real quick, do you have one of those things that like the cups with the sensor, so it tells you how much water you've had to drink?
No, I do not. I try to.
Well, I know what to get you for your birthday then.
Right, thanks, buddy. I typically try to track it via Waterminder on my watch and my phone.
Yeah.
But and I'll send you a real time photo of this as soon as I find my as soon as I find my phone. I currently drink all of my water out of giant vessels that you can buy at a truck stop where you get refills for like super cheap. We bought it when we went on our road trip back when we came to see you.
Yeah.
All together. Yeah. So when we were coming that way, I bought this giant cup that I just texted you a photo of. And so that's what I've been drinking my water out of. For some reason, it just works for me. And also it holds some obscene amount of liquid. Yeah.
What happens if I go to that QR code?
I think you can register your My Rewards card for the Filbur at Pilot or Flying J, which is conveniently still, I believe, under investigation by the Treasury Department for tax issues.
Oh boy.
And the guy that runs it is the brother is a brother of the former governor of the state of Tennessee.
Wow.
So that was a fun scandal that we got to listen to. But yeah, so completely unrelated to what we're doing. I guess it's something I'm doing to stay healthy. I'm just drinking more water.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. In case people hadn't thought of it yet, the main topic is just some of the stuff that Andy and I are doing now that we are voluntarily self-quarantining because we are responsible adults and do not want to be held responsible or liable for anyone else getting sick. You've worked from home before. Not full-time, though.
I mean, I guess there was a period of 9 months back in 2011 where I worked from home, because less than that even, like maybe 4 months, where I worked at Pencils.com. I would have moved out to Stockton to work there, but I worked from home from Indiana and then left before I moved out. So I've done it before, and I do it occasionally. You know, I did it occasionally in other situations too. I worked from home for 2 weeks when I worked at a web development agency in Fort Wayne because it was the polar vortex and my car wouldn't start in the negative 12 degree weather. So
yeah, that'll do it.
We worked from home nervously noticing, like, you know, ice buildup on the both the power lines and the data lines and cable lines. And luckily, none of that ever went out. But yeah, that was fun. So I've done that. I work from home off and on at Facebook and at Adobe, like maybe take a random Wednesday here and there, but I usually am not a big work from home fan because I myself concentrate better in the office environment, even though it's open floor plan. Like, I'm just having a place to be to do it, I usually prefer. And so this is by far the longest and the most productive I've been working from home. And I think some of it has to do with just everybody's doing it, right? Like, it's not just me, it's the world, or, you know, specifically like all the tech companies. So
yeah, if there are impromptu meetings and people are having them, they're having to go, like, there are fewer of them because it takes considerably more effort to just have a spontaneous chat about a thing or to stop by somebody's desk or whatever. So
I
prefer working from home, especially when I have an environment set up like mine is. As longtime listeners of the podcast will remember, I worked from home for two different jobs since the inception of this podcast. Is that the right word, inception?
I think so.
We'll go with it. I've worked from home for two different jobs, both for about a year, a little bit longer each time. And so I feel like I was... Again, Andy and I are both remarkably blessed to work in jobs that allow us to do our work from somewhere other than a specific physical location. I'm not blind to that. I'm not ignorant of what a absolute luxury that is. But I have found that I'm relatively productive from home. If I could manage it, I would probably go to work on Tuesdays and Thursdays and work from home Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just because I want to be able to be in touch with people, around people. But I also find it easier to, like, I can't do not disturb the pod that I send in at work, you know, but I can definitely do not disturb everything else on my phone or on my computer. And like, I've had more doctor's appointments. It seemed like, so I was also going through the rigmarole of trying to find a new therapist right before everything got serious. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh crap. Well, like, if anyone who's ever tried to establish a relationship with a therapist knows how difficult that is in person. And now we're trying to do that and replicate, like, at least some form of that over video chat. But luckily everybody that I've dealt with, therapists, doctors, my sleep clinic, like, everybody's really good at doing things online and either communicating via email, or a lot of my doctors have patient portals now.
Yeah.
So
that's really nice.
So that's been a little bit better. And if I'm at home, I have two shortcuts on my phone. One refers to the other, so I don't click on the second very often. But the first one, I click on it for a calendar. A calendar appointment, and it lets me pick the date and the time, and then I pick one of what is currently three different settings. It's like therapy, psychiatrist, and sleep. And I click on it, And it, one of the first thing it does is it automatically creates an entry in my calendar with the time and usual duration and like location, so that it'll pop up automatically in Maps or whatever. But the other thing it does, and this is where it really is gold for me, is, well, before, not now, but if you click, like, it also prompts you, is this during work hours? If you click yes, it creates a separate event on your work calendar with a 30-minute buffer on each side.
Oh, nice.
So you have time to, like, commute and get where you need to go. So I'm still setting all my stuff up that way so that people don't try to reserve time with me when I put... I'm so upset that my work calendar doesn't sync to my computer. I can only do it via mobile devices, but it just blocks off a private appointment is what it always is titled on my work calendar, you know, in case people go snooping and I don't care if people know I'm going to the psychiatrist, but you know, I think that it's super cool. It pops up and asks me if it's during work hours. I click a button and it does all of the extra stuff for me instead of me having to go into Fantastical on my iPad or on my iPhone, like duplicating an event, changing the calendar. Like it's an automation that I got from the first episode of the Automators podcast that David Sparks does with Roseberry Orchard. Hmm. I definitely stole/borrowed it from them, and it's been really helpful. But that, all of that around to say, I don't haven't had to worry about the buffer on either side of my doctor's appointments because all of my doctor's appointments take me 4 seconds to get to instead of 30 to 45 minutes. So that's been good.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, it's good. I definitely think that like the fact that everybody is working from home or at home is making it just sort of like better for the rest. Like if you're there's no more like, oh yeah, like this group of people from work are in the office and you're working from home, so therefore you're at a disadvantage. Like everybody's at a disadvantage.
Yeah, and that's so I'm not a huge fan of Sean Blanc and kind of the way that he approaches some of his like messaging and businesses and things like that.
Yeah.
But I am still on their mailing list because they produce pretty good stuff most of the time, and they have a webinar coming up on Thursday. And so he sent an email today, as one does, to announce that is happening and to kind of, you know, pitch that people should reserve because last time they ran out of people in the Zoom call, like they ran out of slots. And he said something that like that really resonated with me. And it's not that everybody is now working from home. It is now that everybody is at home trying to do their work.
Yeah.
And it's two entirely different things.
That's a good point.
Like as someone who has worked from home and that has been the only like way that business was done and envisioned it before that for some of us at Pictochart, it was just like, you know, the way that work was and always had been. But for a lot of people, like this is a brand new frontier. Like this is, it's different and strange and confusing and overwhelming. And I'm not just talking about the virus. I'm just talking about the work part.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had children. It's a good thing we don't, for multiple reasons.
Yeah, kind of further privilege, at least over here, is, you know, we don't have kids that we're simultaneously trying to supervise the teaching of, and or just like keep occupied while we try to do our jobs. So I've been really glad Adobe has been very good about giving parents who work there just kind of leeway to, you know, make sure their children get educated and taken care of and, you know, out the door. And so, yeah, I've just been really glad that that's not my world.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. Like it's been difficult and weird enough to try to like even just walk the dogs. Cause if there are other people out, 6 feet can be 6 feet. I've heard that that is actually probably better. So I don't get close to anybody. Like I want to be on the same, I wouldn't even be across the street from someone. Like there has to be a considerable amount of distance between me and another person. So
like, don't try to go to the Whole Foods in San Francisco then.
No, that looked hectic. Not in the picture itself, but you looked like you guys are ready to rumble.
Yeah.
So I just, I have to do a lot more planning when it comes to stuff like that. Or like, are you guys getting packages? Like, what are you doing about packages? Is that real? This is nothing to do with working from home, but
yeah, we've been doing some online shopping. I've been I mean, we've been receiving packages, and occasionally I've been like taking stuff out of the package down in the lobby and then taking it to the recycling and then coming back and sanitizing my hands immediately. But some, I mean, occasionally we've been just taking it up here. Like, it's not, there's some risk involved, but I feel like it's way less than, you know, it could be, right?
Right. Yeah. We have a system worked out now. And I've also gotten pretty good. Elizabeth read this or heard this somewhere. But that the best thing to do is save gloves for time when you absolutely need them. And a reasonable alternative for most activities is like dog poop bags.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that Elizabeth just ordered, it had to have been in the multiple thousands of them, because that's the only way Amazon sells things is in giant bulk quantity. So it's in probably like a 4-inch tall box.
Wow.
It's 4-inch tall box, but it's probably like 6x8 and then 4 inches deep. There's a lot of dog bags. So we're set as far as like being able to handle things as long as we don't need fine motor control. We're also set if for some reason the currency in the new world is dog poop bags.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're going to be, you know, royalty.
Yeah. Between that and the cat vomit, we'll be set. Any particular hurdles you've run into working from home that you can, like, pro tips might not be the right thing, but like word for the wise or whatever the phrase is. I do words good for a living.
I don't know what, you know, your office culture is like, but my meetings have increased since I work from home. Like, I have a few days where I just spend the entire time in front of my computer Adobe uses BlueJeans, which is a Zoom / whatever competitor. It's like
a voice conferencing application.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's not bad. It's just there. It's better than Adobe Connect, which they used to use. Adobe Connect is the worst. Sorry if anybody actually works on Adobe Connect. I doubt it. I doubt anybody's worked on it since 1996 because it's terrible.
Oh, there it is.
Anyhow, extra spicy take. So we've been just ramping up meetings, and I've started to sort of like proactively blocking out days where I'm trying to get something done or blocking out like time. I've just like gotten really aggressive and protective with my calendar, where I have always done that a little bit just because people will just like pop whatever on my calendar, but I've just been extra protective of it recently. So I guess that's good. If you have something you got to get done, just like block it out on your calendar, like pretend you're in a meeting with yourself to get it done. I was lucky enough, so I have a very nice 4K monitor display. It's that the LG one. Is it? It might be like 5K. It's really, really nice. It lives at work, and the last day before they shut down the office, I was able to get it out, and so I have a very nice display at home.
I miss my good display.
Yeah, so have that. I also brought home my when I started Adobe, they gave me this like Jabra Bluetooth headset that like makes me look like a telephone operator.
Right.
But it's very nice. It's the Jabra 370 is a thing, maybe. It's like $300. It's noise canceling, it's very comfortable. It's very nice. So I've been using that, even though it makes me look ridiculous because it's just so comfortable. So it's going fine here. I've also blocked out like lunchtime, and since Katie works from home anyway, we specifically will make lunch and watch an episode of House Hunters, and that's our lunchtime ritual. That's been helpful. So, and then besides that, I'm trying to like offer very low pressure, low stakes happy hours every week for my team.
Nice.
Like if you on Thursdays and you know the late afternoon, if you can and if you want to, we'll just have like a beverage at our respective locations and then just have a chat. So that's a thing. I think that's been really helpful working from home. I guess the last thing I'll mention is I've actually been trying to be a little bit more analog. I always kind of have a journal, but I have this like really cool Leuchtturm. It's called a Red Dot Journal. It's a special edition Leuchtturm that Michael Metz actually gave me.
Thank you, Michael Metz.
Yeah, and I've been experimenting with some bullet journaling, but I've just sort of, it's evolved in the last few weeks into the top third of the pages for just sort of a, essentially like a coronavirus journal and my thoughts of the day. And then the bottom two thirds is for, there's two columns. There's one for to-do list for today, and there's another column for stuff to think about for the future. So I've been kind of using that in conjunction with my Things app. And every morning while I brew coffee, because now I have to make my own coffee, like some kind of a plebe.
Like a hand?
Since I'm in charge of my own coffee, I brew that and I sit down and I, you know, kind of get my page ready for the day. So that's a kind of a good, it's not meditating, but it's meditative, I think.
Yeah, I should try something like that, even if it's just, so I typically have, well, for a while, I had the iPad Pro that I'm borrowing from work set up on my laptop stand and had it set up because, again, it only the mobile devices will sync with the work calendar and the personal calendar. So I had it up there and had it in the window split where the left half was Fantastic Hal showing the day view, the week view, and then the right side was Good Task, which is what I'm using for tasks now.
Yeah.
And that was going pretty well, but I always found that things were still sneaking up on me, like meetings, especially ones that I weren't that I wasn't excited about going to, which is most of them. So, I should think about trying to move all that over into an analog fashion, if for no other reason than to remind myself of what's going on in the day.
Yeah, I'll send you. I probably don't want to post it in the show. Maybe I'll make a new template and just post it in show notes about what it might look like. But I'll send you a picture of what it looks like. It really works for me, and because like regular old bullet journaling has not really been my thing, so this is the right thing for me. I also read, I mentioned this on a recent episode of Erasable, but there's a really great blog post on the blog for the Take Note podcast, takenote.space. That Adam Webb wrote, who's one of the Take Note hosts. And it's basically about like keeping a COVID-19 journal. And, you know, he lays out the argument that, you know, this is a very, very unique time. Many of us have never been through something like this. And hopefully, you know, universe willing, won't be going through this very often again. But this is, it'd be a very interesting thing to keep a journal of what life is like right now for our kids and grandkids. And so I've been kind of thinking about that and trying to record some thoughts about it. I've been kind of keeping track in my own head just to stay mindful of global cases and global deaths and US cases and US deaths of this thing. So I've been just kind of like writing that down each day, just to think about it. And that's a good kind of like low fidelity way to be mindful of it, but not to like freak yourself out by it. So I've been doing that, and then having like to-do list for today, and then also just stuff for the future to think about.
That's cool. I like that. Yeah, I have, since my calendar and tasks don't all live in one place, although eventually they could if work changes things up. Technically, they could all live in the same place in Fantastical, because the new Fantastical is amazing and does a really good job incorporating that stuff. But yeah, as for now, I think it would just be like, the only way I'm knowing what's going on as far as to-do list and calendars is the complications on my watch, which I don't look at as often when I'm at my desk.
Yeah.
So yeah, having it all in one place, even if it's just paper, would be a good thing. I am using the heck out of that the Pano book that I talked about last time that you and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have it just folded in half above my mouse pad, which is on my right side because I'm normal, Andy.
I agree.
So I have I just have it there, and then I have my sharpened 602 sitting on top of it. So I just pick it up and write to. So yeah, I could probably just be doing it there. Speaking of my desk, that's the first of my pro tips. If you didn't have any others.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So my first tip is to not necessarily straighten the area around you, but like arrange it in a way that works for you. So I just spent a lot of time cleaning in here. I mean, relatively a lot of amount of time. It's not a very big room, but I just spent time in here over the weekend, like dusting everything and making sure everything is wiped down and like not covered in just that thin layer of I've lived in here all week.
Yep.
I believe the people in Westworld would call it a rind. There's not much of a rind anymore. But I also spend some time, and it's a good thing to do when you're in those meetings that you kind of passively have to be there for. I've also spent time like rearranging the things that are on my desk because they're the things that I see in my like periphery all day.
Yeah.
So there's no way I'm going to use all of these pens and pencils that I currently have stacked up on my desk. And there's no reason why I should have a candle and a diffuser in here and an essential oil diffuser at the same time. Like, but I do. And the stuff that's here is a mix of like functional, but also something that is like makes me happy and like is satisfying. And if you're going to be in the same spot for an extended period of time, and again, props to the watch for reminding me to get up every hour because there are days. Wouldn't if it didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to see it in your periphery, like, make sure it's things that A, you like to look at, and B, that's not so cluttered that you can't make sense of what's going on around you.
That's a good call. Yeah, my desk is my kitchen table. Because Katie, we have space for one desk, and that's, you know, Katie permanently works from home, so that's her area. So I, during the week, Monday through Friday, the kitchen table is now my desk. And then on Friday evening, kind of like my done with work thing is I kind of tear that down and store all the stuff and then rebuild it Sunday night to get ready for Monday. So that kind of helps me reorganize. But at the same time, it does feel very temporary, right? It feels like this is a space for something different that I'm kind of like co-opting.
Yeah.
So if this is something that for some reason just became like a permanent thing, like, you know, you're going to be doing this for the next 18 months, I might like try to buy a desk and figure out where the heck to put it. But in the meantime, this is fine.
Yep. With fire all around us.
This is fine.
Kitchen, this drinking is fine. Coffee. This is fine. Yeah. Everything's fine. It's good. Cool.
Should we move on to entertainment and play, or do you still have any work tips you want to talk about?
I had one tangentially related to lesson.
Oh, yeah.
One full tip. One of them is I have a boom arm for my mic now, and it's amazing how much more space I feel like I have on my desk.
Yeah.
Now that I can just push and move that out of the way. Also, it makes everybody that's on a call with me at work feel super fancy because they feel like they're being interviewed by a radio show host. Because I pull one in front of me and use the boom arm.
Now you can finally be on the sweet setup because it seems like everybody has a, even if they're not podcasters, have a boom arm microphone.
Yeah, I had $15 in Amazon credit from, I don't know, doing some surveys, or I think we had some referral credit that finally got kicked over.
Slow shipping, yeah.
Yeah, so I got it kicked over, and it's great. I really enjoy having it. And the other piece of gear that is tangentially related to that I recommend is to, if you're going to be on video calls for a significant portion of your day, try to get an actual webcam and not just use the one that's built into your computer.
Oh, that's a good call.
You will feel better about yourself
and
going to these meetings because, I don't know, it just... You don't like to watch lo-fi television. Why do you want to watch lo-fi video stuff? So the problem is, particularly the webcam that I have, because it is relatively popular and well-reviewed, is that you can't find a webcam right now any more than you can find like a 12-pack of toilet paper. Like, it is just absolutely bonkers. Go ahead.
So my boss rigged up his home office, so he has a DSLR that is his webcam, and then he has like some sort of a processor like piece of hardware that processes it and compresses it into a stream for your computer, and he has it set to this like super low focus mode, like short focus mode, so like the background is very artfully blurred up behind him and he's very sharply in focus, and it looks like what all of those like fake background blur things are trying to look like. It looks very fancy, like he's being interviewed for a documentary.
I was reading, I guess, or it might have been a YouTube video, but I was reading or watching something where somebody was talking about how to set that up when you have like a higher quality camera. I found out today that this webcam has a standard threaded, it's a threaded hole at the bottom.
You can put it on a tripod.
Yeah, and I have a Joby GorillaPod that my brother gave us years and years ago for Christmas. The problem is, like, I don't have anywhere – by the way, pro tip, always webcam from above and not from equal or below.
You can see all my chins?
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you don't have any, the camera will make it happen. Plus, it's just, it's easier to look up and make eye contact. Nobody wants to see the underside of your face. So do all your cameraing from up top.
You know what I didn't mention is the router that I bought.
Oh, you did get a router. Yeah, let's do that, and then let's talk about. We'll take another sponsor break, and then we'll talk about how we're staying entertained.
You can't trick me. So I was having some weird spotty internet problems at home, and so Adobe gave us a little stipend to buy like some work from home supplies, and I spent mine on a gaming router that plugs in directly to your modem. And
foreshadowing is what we call that. We call it foreshadowing.
We have, it has 8 antennas coming off of it. It looks like a dead cyber spider. I'll put a link to it in show notes. It's ridiculous looking, but it like basically I wanted Wi-Fi that was so strong you could feel it in your teeth, and this is that. And then I also have a Ethernet cable running off the back of it into my monitor, which then connects to my computer. So whenever I'm hooked up to my second monitor, I can jack hardwire into it. Which is good.
Jack into the matrix.
Yeah.
I assume the first thing you did was run a speed test as soon as you got it hooked up, right?
Well, so the thing is like the speed test, like it's only as fast as whatever your like, you know, connection out to the internet is. So this is the whole thing. I was trying to figure out there's a way that you can turn your phone into like field test mode and actually see the strength of the wireless signal, like in decibels. And
I can tell you how to do that on your laptop.
Okay. I should do it on my laptop. Let's talk about that after the show.
Yeah. I can tell you to do it on your laptop.
I tried doing it on my phone, couldn't figure it out. I found an app that will do it. And so it has quite good strength of signal. Like the Wi-Fi does. So, of course, it is bound by, you know, the pipeline into the internet, which for us is like, you know, a bad time it's 60 or 70, and in a good time it's like 300. So, download. But definitely, like, I miss those Adobe upload speeds because don't get that at Comcast.
Well, yeah, we don't. We have crappy Wi-Fi at the office anyway, because when they originally installed all the nodes, they were not planning for all of the people that are currently there.
Yeah.
Particularly on the seven. So most of the design studio is located on 3 different floors, and I work on the 8th floor. And then the 7th floor is like some office space, not office space, like some working space around the perimeter. And then 4 giant, like workshop areas in the middle.
Yeah.
And when we do, Up until the summer, every time we'd bring in interns and new hires for the onboarding program, like the 7th floor people couldn't get Wi-Fi because there's like another 100 bodies that are floating around because, you know, everybody's there doing this onboarding stuff and they're there for like 6 weeks. And so everybody that normally works on the floor is just like, there's no way. It's just not possible. So I love that your download speed is what I was getting at like 1 p.m. today. Yeah. Like your bad download speed of 70. But then again, I live in a smaller town, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I'm glad we got this router, but I also now have like so many various like signals coming into the house. I have like two 5G signals broadcasting and a regular one, and yeah, it's just a little crazy balls. Did you have one more, or do you want to jump into play?
No, I don't have anything else. I think we can jump right into going to how we are keeping ourselves entertained and distracted. Yeah. You want to save Switch to the end, since it's going to be just a...
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. Let's talk about... Yeah. Let's do video game things last.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm making coffee in the mornings, just like you.
Yeah. Although you're doing a pour-over. I have switched to doing... coffee pot coffee, because in the mornings quantity over quality is my main concern.
Yeah, that was part of the reason I was running into issues, is because I would get up in the morning and make, I don't know, a half a pot of coffee or a third of a pot of coffee or whatever, because Elizabeth's not drinking it anymore. So I would make that, but then I would like either drink it all day or not drink it, and either way I felt like I was using more beans than I needed to.
Yeah.
And so I've switched it. I did the I don't want to call it a frisbee. That's not the AeroPress. There we go.
Yeah.
I did AeroPress for a few days and liked it, but I've switched to doing a pour over because I've got it timed pretty well that I can put water in the kettle. And then as the kettle is boiling, I can arrange the dog's food and put it on the floor and then get everything sort of set up to pour before they are done eating. So nice.
Morning rituals are important.
Right. Yeah. I kind of got it timed out right. And now I'm only having one cup of coffee a day, which is fine. I'm good with that. I am going to put in a shameless plug for the coffee service I've used. I can't believe I haven't talked about it here before. I know that I've talked to you about it. It's one of those things that is just novel enough and just techie enough that I feel like, yes, this is exactly the subscription service for me. You know, there's a subscription service for everyone, just like you're in that content strategy Star Trek Slack group.
Yes.
There's a community for everyone. It just so happens that the service that most appeals to me is a service called Bottomless. It is a coffee subscription service. So the way that it works is they ship you a 3D printed scale that works on an ad hoc network with your Wi-Fi router, whether it looks like a spider or not, and it checks on a regular basis. I think I've looked at either 4 or 5 times a day to see how much coffee you have left, and then once the algorithm recognizes that you don't have very much, that you are running out of coffee, it factors in things like shipping time, freshness of beans, things like that. Anyway, they've partnered with like 30 or 40 different roasters to send you coffee that is super fresh. I'm talking like the last time I got a bag, I got it on Wednesday. It had been roasted on that Monday.
Yeah. Nice.
It's great. It's currently $6 a month. I paid for a year. So I think I got it for like the equivalent of like $4 a month. That includes shipping for all of the coffee that you get. The scale, it's a discounted bags. Anyway, there's a link in the show notes. Again, shameless plug. If somebody signs up for using my link, I get a free bag. They get a free bag. I just really like it because, like I said, it's right in my wheelhouse when it comes to like a thing that I enjoy indulging in.
Yeah.
But also has a very like, it's very much that mix of analog and digital that we love so very, very much.
There's a digital. So it's a Wi-Fi enabled digital scale. This is how I interpret this. You leave your coffee bag on the digital scale and it checks to see how much you have in there. And so if the bag is lighter, it's like, oh, time to order another set.
Yeah. So like I got,
wow.
So like I got an email or a text message today that they're prepping to send another bag tomorrow. Now it has factored in. So there's like different settings you can say, like, I never want to run out of beans. I always want to have the freshest beans or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I never want to run out of beans. And the cool thing I've noticed is that their algorithm has shifted to sending coffee to you or initiating your shipment earlier because of how overwhelmed the delivery system is for everyone right now.
Yeah.
So, but I like one of the coolest things about it is I get to drink coffee from these roasters that I would never have access to otherwise. You know,
yeah, that's really cool.
I'm trying not to drink coffee from places that I would normally get to, or even stuff that I could get at like Whole Foods. Like I'm trying to do stuff, and there's different rotate. Like you can get the same thing constantly if you want to. There are different rotations and different like sets and picks and stuff. I really enjoy it. At the very least, go to their site and just like poke around and see all these cool different roasters I work with. I think that's nice. Really cool. But yeah, that's my plug for coffee subscription service, which is the most millennial thing I've said today.
Yeah.
Are you, what else are you doing? I mean, coffee is not to keep me entertained, but like, what do you do? Are you quitting every day around 5, like a good regular person?
I'm trying to mostly, I'm trying to quit a little early on Fridays. I'm trying to, like read a little bit more. I think you have some good thoughts around news consumption. I usually, you know, I think I typically read more news than you do.
Yep.
Just generally.
That's part of the luxury of me not reading the news, is I know that if that's literally my safety net is I won't miss it because Elizabeth or Andy will tell me.
Yeah, somebody will tell me. But I'm actively trying to just kind of cut that back. You know, not counting all the stuff that kind of like goes past my eyes on Twitter, just because like you, I choose to continue to engage in Twitter and like I can't avoid news stuff that way. But definitely like turning off all of the random Apple News notifications throughout the day that are like either like super like dire and desperate in tone, or it's like 6 fun recipes for your cookout.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
This is how to make bread in case you haven't read it 17 other places on the internet already today.
I don't know if you know this, but, you know, the New York Times has some work from home tips in case you want it.
Oh, do they? Oh, do they?
So definitely trying to consume news more intentionally or less, you know, less times per day.
Yeah. Well, as I've alluded to and talked about here before, I'm on what I call a news diet. I don't like the news. I feel like you and I, based on our backgrounds, have a better understanding of the journalistic process than most people. Mm-hmm. And I think that seeing how the machine works is part of what kind of got me turned off from it.
Yeah.
Cause it's just not, it's not great, but, I do think it's necessary to keep up in general with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to the radio on my way into work, even when I was driving in anymore, trying to eliminate those distractions because of the whole totaling the car thing. If you want more on that story, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. but I do have 3 newsletters that I read every day. The first one is called Morning Brew. It's great. I can get through it in less than 5 minutes, but it covers all of the biggest news stories with a little bit of a business slant to it. And because I work for a company that's in the Fortune 100 and... did you know we had a new CEO start yesterday and all this other stuff? I try to be part of, like, it's one of the first things that I read every day. And if I'm only going to read one thing, it's that Morning Brew. Again, I'm full of referral links today. There's a referral link to that in the show notes. Doesn't cost anything, but they like to have referrals because there is some sponsored content in a very uninvasive kind of way within the newsletter. I also get the New York Times morning briefing. Speaking of the New York Times, I've been getting that for a few months, and that's another one of those that if I have 10 minutes, it's worth catching up with the news in general. I trust the Times and the Washington Post right now. I don't put a lot of faith in a lot of other people or a lot of other news organizations. And then finally, the New York Times also has a daily coronavirus briefing that comes out in the afternoons. I would say I mark that one as read and skip it more often than not, but
in case you're curious.
Yeah, if I want to really like expose myself to that kind of news, then that's what I pick up. So yeah, Morning Brew and then a couple from the New York Times. And boy, do the New York Times have a lot of newsletters. They have so many newsletters. Mm-hmm. But I just get Morning Briefing and Daily Coronavirus Briefing. So that's what I recommend. I don't do Twitter anymore at all, except for one person. I'll drop both of the links that I have in our show doc in the show notes. His name's Andy Slavitt. He used to be the acting administrator for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. So I looked up what that meant. Basically, what happened was he had a healthcare startup that got bought out by one of the giant healthcare companies. And so he kind of worked there for a while and then took an exit. He headed up the team that revamped the marketplace. Remember the healthcare exchange was so bad.
Yeah.
He headed up the team that fixed it.
Oh, nice.
So he's not a doctor. He does not give medical advice, but he is tuned into people that know what are going on as far as like medically, scientifically, supply chain, all of that. He's pretty in touch. So, the Twitter stuff is good. The Medium stuff is almost better because someone helped him get it set up, and then it would take his nightly nightly thread and turn it into a Medium post. That's probably a better way to digest it, is to go in once a day, probably in the mornings if you can stomach it, and check out his Medium post. So highly recommended for a reliable source of information.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've been trying to read some more books. Just like at night, you know, lately it's a little different lately because I'm on day 4 of Animal Crossing. But before that, I've been trying to spend some time. I finished a really great novel called The History of an Alternate Timeline, which is about time travel. And there's basically a big group of like men's rights activists who have been time traveling to sort of like erase women's rights history, like events throughout history. And it's about a group of like activist feminists who go back to like stop them. And it's written by local science fiction author, Annalie Newitz. And she actually lives in my neighborhood, which is cool.
I feel like I read about that somewhere.
Yeah. I think I may have told you, talked about it. Like we, awesome. I've definitely tried not to stalk them. She's partners with Charlie Jane Anders, who is another amazing science fiction writer. The two of them co-founded IO9. If you remember that blog.
I do remember that blog. That's not around anymore.
I think it's around some other form.
I was going to say, one of the ones that Gawker sort of jettisoned?
Yeah, it's one of the former Gawker ones that are now part of that Kinja or whatever it's called.
Oh, that's even worse. Let's not even get into that. Yeah. It's also a clusterfuck. Oh, there it was.
Ding.
We made it more than an hour into the recording before I used the F word. So.
Finished reading that, started reading a book by Blake Crouch called Recursion, which is about memory and also a little bit about time travel, and it's just been what's on my mind lately, just interesting kind of non-linear stuff. In the middle of reading that, and I think when I'm done, I'm going to start Harry's novel.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I
Do you read fiction? Have you ever been reading anything for fun?
I do sometimes. I'm trying to think about the last fiction. So Amazon, if you're part of Amazon Prime, they give you a free book at the beginning of every month from a list of like 5 new releases.
Yeah.
And I've downloaded a couple of those books. I think they're just currently sitting on the Kindle. I would pull the Kindle up and see what the last fiction thing was that I read. But yeah, I do read fiction on occasion. I read a lot more long form nonfiction because I don't know. I just feel like there are still really good stories to be told in there. I'm currently reading something called The Feeling Good Handbook, which is very similar to the book I'm going to put in the show notes called Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy. It's the basis. It's the book that sort of serves as the basis for the practice of cognitive behavioral therapy, or the ideas that if you change behaviors, then your thoughts will follow, and vice versa. If you change some of your thought patterns, you'll have better behaviors. Yeah. That's probably a really oversimplifying of cognitive behavioral therapy, so please don't at me. But it was recommended by one of my therapists, and so I'm going through that little bit by little bit, about 30 or 45 minutes a day, trying to read about just different ways to work on my brain. I also keep saving stuff to my Instapaper queue, but then not actually reading it. That's,
you know, you still get the same amount of dopamine hit when you save it as you do when you finish it. So might as well just keep on doing that.
I guess that might be it. Like, but I think there's legitimately some stuff in there that I would be interested in reading. The problem is, and I'm not even going to talk about my RSS feeds because I'm still doing RSS. I haven't touched those in probably 2 weeks. So. Yeah.
Same here, and then also same with I've almost listened to no podcasts, so sorry for nobody's gonna listen to this podcast, I assume.
I mean, I'm still downloading them all, and that's what most people care about.
Yeah, no, totally, that's true.
So yeah, I don't know, I just keep saving things to in my Instagram queue. I do find it interesting that you mentioned that you've been reading through Cory Doctorow's link blog in the show notes.
Yeah. I've been attending a few episodes, a few of the quarantine book club stuff that the Mule Design Gallery, like Mike Montero and Erica Hall's been doing, and they've been having authors on to talk about their work. They had Cory Doctorow on, and I didn't realize this existed, but he has a daily link blog called Pluralistic, which reminds me of kind of the good old days of Boing Boing, which he does. I think he's still a part owner, but he doesn't really contribute too much anymore. So this is kind of that, and it's just your typical Cory Doctorow stuff, which is awesome.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I literally downloaded 2 of his books to read at the end of the week last week is when I downloaded them. Oh, you know what it was? Is I subscribed to a couple of newsletters that are like "What's in My Bag" or "Cool Tools" or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kevin Kelly does the Cool Tools.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good. And so I subscribed to, I think two different newsletters from them, and one of the people that they had on their show, like last week or the week before, was Cory Doctorow, and so they were talking about some of his work, and I was like, oh, this is interesting, especially because all of his stuff is published under Creative Commons, mm-hmm. so you can do cool stuff with it.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite authors and one of my favorite human beings. Like I think I've kind of followed him for 12, 15 years, and I actually got to ask him a question on the like in the Q&A portion of that Quarantine Book Club. So
nice,
that was really fun. He saw my face and responded to me, which is
that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as fiction goes, that'll probably be what I jump into next.
Yeah.
Are you watching anything besides House Hunters?
Yeah, a little bit. We've been... What have I been watching? I don't know. Stuff.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Like, I dial back at the end of the day. I'm like, what did I watch today? We always do the John Oliver monologues on Mondays because those are free on YouTube.
Yeah.
Did you watch the first or second episode of Some Good News Network, the John Krasinski video? Have you heard about that? You've heard about this, right?
Yes, I've heard of it. No, I haven't watched it.
Okay. The first one was pretty good. Yeah. The second one came out, I think, yesterday. I don't know. I'll probably try to catch up on that. But
yeah,
I know what you mean about, I know I'm watching something. I just couldn't tell you what it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I binged both episodes of Jack Ryan on Amazon.
Oh, speaking of John Krasinski.
Right, right. Yeah. That was part of it. But it made me want to get back into it. I used to read a lot of Tom Clancy when I was younger.
Yeah.
Tom Clancy and John Grisham novels, man. When I was a teenager, I just tore through those things.
Yeah.
So I've thought about getting back on. I might do that for fiction because that's a little bit better than the lowbrow Jack Reacher novels that I typically read that are just like complete garbage and I can tear through them in a day. But
yeah,
I'm reading more. The problem is my best friend just got a Nintendo Switch and now I have to figure out how to navigate the world of cooperative and or competitive online gaming.
Well, I don't much care for competitive online gaming, but cooperative sounds like fun. So here's what I think we should do. We have 8 minutes ish left. And I feel like we want to go in depth about Animal Crossing. At least I would like to. What if you and I do sometime in the near future, right here on this very Discord where we're talking to each other, we do just sort of like a live mini 0.5 episode RSVP style and talk about Animal Crossing. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, I was hoping that we would try to find a different way to use the Discord.
Yeah.
Especially since it is now it's now a window that I have open all day. I have I don't know what Apple calls them, workspaces or desktops or whatever. You know, if you go into Mission Control and it lays out all your full screen windows, I have it open right next to Slack in case friend of the show Michael Metz needs me for something.
Yeah,
I just leave it open. So yeah, we'll
let's figure out how to like post some invites in the show notes to this Discord, and then maybe we can figure out how to pre-schedule a time to just like hang out and talk through it and take questions and maybe even add people to the call and just talk about Animal Crossing and Switch. Does that sound good?
Well, we'll do a switchy video gamey thing.
Okay.
So yeah.
Switch a video gamey thingy
through the Discord, which Andy and I have been using to record this podcast, and boy, do I have some feedback. let's button this one up.
Okay.
If people were interested in getting in touch with you on the internet, how would they go about doing so?
Oh man. If you go to andy.wtf, you can see links to various things that I do. And if you go to Twitter or Instagram at awelfly, you can find me there. And don't even come finding me on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Don't go. Don't,
I mean, if you
don't,
want to,
don't be stalking his LinkedIn. Don't be doing all that. Similarly,
I see in the LinkedIn.
Yeah. Oh, you did. Yeah, you did. You did. Andy protects his LinkedIn presence with and his
apparently
LinkedIn
a flaming
news
sword.
Yeah, flaming sword, like the passion and ferocity of a mother bear guarding her cub.
How about you?
I'm also on many of the social networks at Will Fengi,
except Twitter, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I check it probably once or twice a day to see if I have any mentions or direct messages, and I still technically work on Twitter for part of my job, but we've definitely dialed back our messaging because there are certain guidelines that messages need to hit right now, and I don't have the bandwidth to create that kind of content. So, yeah, just reach out. Also, you can ping us at @.gridpodcast. I should probably check and see if there are any messages awaiting there. And again, we say it. We said it for the past few episodes, and we certainly mean it now more than ever. If you need a friend, Andy and I have open DMs. The .grid podcast DMs are open, so slide up on in there in a non-creepy or disgusting way. Let us know if you want to chat.
I don't know if you can say slide up in there in not a disgusting, creepy way, but not you specifically, but anybody.
No, I took it personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So slide up all in there.
Yeah, do the thing, Lube the damn up, thing.
Head up there.
Yeah, do the thing. Get in touch with us should you feel a need, and Andy and I will look into getting some links out to the Discord. If you want to be proactive and request a link to the Discord, you can get in touch with us on social media, but if not, hopefully there will be some kind of tweet or pinned message somewhere on the internet that'll make it easier for you to find, and then... We'll do a half episode where we talk about Nintendo-y, switchy things for a little while and get to know some of you guys a little bit better, and gals and folks a little bit better. But in the meantime, Andy Welfley, I hope that you and yours stay safe and healthy, and we will talk soon.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, not bad.